This is Chris. Alan, hey, where are you? You're supposed to be on in 20 minutes with Michelle. Max is in trouble. Was it the neighborhood dog again? Vacuum cleaner. Look, Alan, I wish you all the best, but what is Michelle supposed to do? You're supposed to be on soon. Now, Alan, look, I've never done this before. I don't have the right clothes, I don't know all your lines, and I still have the silly haircut from the bet I lost. Alan, come on. I'm not wearing a suit. I'm wearing the janitor outfit that Michelle makes me wear all the time. Look, Alan, I don't know. We'll figure something out. Let me go, okay? All right, bye. Yes. Plan B, people. All right, let's get Alan's lines. I need makeup. Do I have a trailer? What's going on here? Come on, who's in charge?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another installment of User Group Television. I'm your host, Michelle Fleming-Touré.
And I'm your host, Chris McKay. I'll be filling in for Alan, who's away at the moment.
Well, we have a really great show for you this month. First, we're going to head north of the border to check in with our friends that we met at the DevTeach conference in May.
After that, we'll see what else happened while Alan and Michelle were at TechEd in Orlando. Michelle, I have a question for you. What's better than a John Martin demo?
Having Alan co-host a show with me?
Actually, two John Martin demos was the correct answer. We'll see the second half of the TechEd demo where John gets into social bookmarking and public profile. And from there, we'll see a little insight from the resident guru of Zune, Justin Ng, as well as a heart-touching story from Dave Saunders of Calminus. What else can we fit into one show, Michelle?
Well, Chris, you know, I don't know. But before you get ahead of yourself, let's see what the Canadians have been up to.
Okay, Michelle. Let's go up north where they're making a push towards the classroom and discussing their take on the benefits of user groups at the DevTeach conference in Toronto.
From Canada, hello UGTV.
Bonjour Montréal.
Hello UGTV from Toronto. It's live.
Hey, from Vancouver, hello UGTV.
Hola, UGTV. Somos la delegación cubana que todos los años asistimos al DevTeach.
From DevTeach in Toronto, 2008. Hello, UGTV.
Hey. Students come to realize that success in the industry is not through just studying and reading. It is also through networking and upgrading yourself. And this is where the user groups come in, because many of our topics are on subjects that are current and subjects that are to come.
I would love to see some of our talks go to the classroom and go to the university, especially the technology-driven universities where the latest and greatest minds are coming to this industry.
For our user group, going into the classroom would probably be a next step for us. We're already into the schools a little bit and talking to them about improving and enhancing their current curriculum to be more in line with what our employers and co-workers are looking for from new hires. The next step for us would be to go in and actually start doing presentations in these facilities, as well as perhaps becoming full-time instructors.
I'm an instructor at the British Columbia Institute of Technology. The young people bring a lot of enthusiasm. They tend to be quiet because they're not so sure about themselves, but they're very, very enthusiastic and they're willing to learn. And it's good to see them like 3 or 4 years later after they've graduated, they work in industry, they come back, and they really get engaged and they feel the place belongs to them. It's like they grew from there. So I like that aspect of things.
One of the things that Microsoft is doing to help us with that is taking their academic liaisons and making them available to us to help start the conversations with places that we're having difficulties getting into and meeting the right people to start the conversations.
Well, the Canadians are getting all learned up there. Let's also see what else they had to say about the benefits of being in a user group.
It's fun to actually go for an hour, chat with people, increase your network, and get a lot of knowledge out of it. Right?
User groups are a key source of networking, collaboration with other members in the industry. and learning new stuff, understanding a broad spectrum of what is out there in the Microsoft industry.
Well, we talk about our profession. We also talk about things like whether you're looking for work or whether you have work. So it's a good opportunity to network.
If you want to see where technology goes and the new things that are coming out, I think that you have to attend these things because, as we all know, Microsoft churns out some new technology every 3 months. So it's actually really, really hard to follow where they're going, right? So the fact that we're at the cutting edge, or we have a few people at a cutting edge, are able to kind of dissipate this information in an easy way, right? Or in an easy to consume way, I guess, is actually very important.
All right, Michelle, now that we're done visiting with our friends up in Canada, let's take a look back at the big classroom in Orlando.
The big classroom in Orlando. You're getting really fancy with your little segues and your little news anchor job now, aren't you?
You know what?
So you're getting really fancy with these segues and your new little anchor job, aren't you, Chris?
Don't get too
comfortable.
Why do you do this to me?
Alan's going to come back.
You know, this is what we talk about in our counseling sessions.
Just read Alan's lines, and we'll edit your insecurities out later.
Alan's lines. Okay, that's fine. You know what? I'm just going to relax, and why don't you just introduce the next segment?
So let's get to the second half of John Martin's demo, where he highlighted social bookmarking and public profile.
Are you familiar with social bookmarking?
Well, we chatted about that last time the MVP Summit.
Absolutely.
So you promised to show me that.
Social bookmarking is really cool, and it does a couple big things on MSDN. The way social bookmarking works is that it allows you, an individual, to put all of your bookmarks in one place. So instead of having some bookmarks on one PC and the rest of your bookmarks in another place, you can actually put them all in one online location and access them from any PC. The other thing it allows you to do is organize your bookmarks with tags instead of putting them in folders. And with tags, you can have more than one tag per bookmark. So it's a very flexible, easy way to organize.
Yeah.
In addition to having a good place for your own bookmarks, you can actually see the public bookmarks of thousands of other users. So you can see your favorites, but you can also see what other favorites are coming from the community, which is really great for MSDN, where we have millions of developers and other technical professionals bookmarking content from around the web. A lot of great content is going to be aggregated in social bookmarks. The final thing is, when you bookmark socially on the web, the bookmark itself, which is a URL, and the tag you put on it, and you as a bookmarker, all become links, which means you can surf from bookmark to user to tag to discover new content, but also discover new people and find out where the smart people are and follow them. So let me show you how it works.
Yeah, show us.
Let's go to CodeZone. So while I'm opening up CodeZone, one of the things you can see here is that there is a small bookmarklet in the links toolbar, and I'll show you how you do that. This is how the social bookmarking process begins on MSDN. This is real easy to install, and what I can do is go to any URL on the web. Doesn't have to be MSDN, doesn't have to be TechNet or a Microsoft site, be any URL on the web, and I can bookmark it to become a part of MSDN. So contribute this content that I think is important to MSDN, and here's how it works. So I'm going to bookmark it. When I click on that bookmark button, I have to sign in. The reason it's asking me for a sign in is because there's a connection between your bookmark and your tags and your identity. I'll tell you a little bit more about identity in the system as we go. So I'm going to go back to CodeZone, and I'm going to bookmark this in MSDN. And what you can see is that the bookmarklet has pulled in the URL, it's pulled in the title, and it's up to me to add a tag. So I'm going to add a tag for user group. I'm going to put it in quotes because it's two words. And then I'm going to put as a description, homepage of CodeZone. Could probably do a better description. Every bookmark also has the opportunity to be private or public.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So what we'd like everyone to do is make as many of their technical bookmarks public to the rest of the community. But you can use this for all your bookmarks. So if there's music or if there's recipes or there's kids sports sites or whatever that you need to put in your favorites, you can put them in there using MSDN bookmarks, but you can also tag them as private.
So nice.
I'm going to leave it public and click through. Now, that bookmark has been saved in our bookmark space, and if I go to the bookmarking site, it should be one of the most recent bookmarks that we've added. And there you can see, well, that's CodePlex. Let's take a look at the most recent. This is the homepage of the social bookmarking app, and let me just show you how it works. A couple important things. All Bookmarks is our main feed. My Bookmarks is the bookmarks that I have put in the system. I can also click through to my profile, and there's a Getting Started page. So this is a feed of all the bookmarks that are in the system. I'll show you my bookmarks. And there it is. My code zone. You can see that I've tagged it. There's the URL we're at. My tag is user group, and I saved it today at 6:45 a.m. Pacific time. So one of the other things you can see is that a lot of these other bookmarks have been saved by other people. You can see Code Project, the ticker, which I'll show you, saved by 23 other people, saved by 10 other people. Let's take a look at that. And this is what I meant before about the social part. This list is a list of 10 other people, and it's a limitation we put on it for the preview release, 10 other people who bookmarked Code Project. And I can click through on these people to see what else they've bookmarked.
Interesting.
And in this way, by making a link out of the bookmark, by making a link out of the tag and the bookmarker, I can surf a network of social content and see what else people are using for resources and find people that might be like-minded, people I could learn from.
And I could snap one of their bookmarks up for me.
You can easily grab one of their bookmarks and say, make that part of my bookmarks too.
Excellent.
Yep. Let me close the loop on this one, on this, by showing you one thing back on the MSDN site. Social Bookmarks actually produces a feed. It produces a big feed of bookmark content. And one of the things we've done in the C-Sharp Center on the Community tab is that we've taken a feed of popular social bookmarks, and the popularity is ranked on how many people have bookmarked it and tagged it, and we're feeding those social bookmarks right into the center.
Nice.
And what this means is not only is content coming in from the community to be part of the Dev Center for C#, but it actually allows customers in the community to publish directly to MSDN simply by bookmarking and tagging. This feed here has all been tagged C#. If you go out and bookmark and tag at C#, you can publish content to MSDN that easy.
That is really nice.
Pretty cool, huh?
That is very cool.
Let me show you one last thing. We've developed a cool Silverlight application called the Ticker. And the Ticker basically consumes that same feed of social bookmarks, and it allows the bookmarks to start flowing from the right to the left, and it gives you a visual display of what's being bookmarked by other customers. If you want to, you can point to these bookmarks and click through to them to see exactly what's been bookmarked. But it's a really fun way to get a good idea about social bookmarking and how it works, and also see almost real time what people are bookmarking from the community.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
You asked about the profile. Let me get back to that. So I just clicked on the icon up here in the upper right corner. You'll find this icon in our new forums application, and you'll find it as in our new social bookmarking application. It's part of our social platform. When you open up the site to the community, one of the most important things you need to do is give people a way to create a rich identity within
right.
the system. I think this is especially important for user groups and user group leads. This is my profile. So you can see my username here. We've got a great big-sized avatar.
Nice.
This is a new big size. We felt it was important to give people big canvas to express themselves. I have a display name, affiliations, I'm an employee, MVPs can be an affiliation as well. My blog is my website, and I've described myself.
Really, could a user group leader or their user group name be an affiliation?
We would need to design that into the system, and we're thinking about that.
Okay.
Right now, I don't think it works that way. I think we have MVPs and Microsoft employees.
Okay.
But I think it's a fantastic idea. You can certainly put your user group website in
okay.
here, and you can describe your user group in About Me. These feeds down here are actually my contributions to MSDN. So you can see down here, my social bookmarks. We feed your contributions into your profile page so people can see what you've done. This profile page shows my bookmarks. I am a forums contributor, but I don't think my forums posts, I have made them my favorites yet, and I have not contributed to the library. But if I did, those contributions would come and be visible. I think this is a great way for people in user groups to increase their visibility, their impact, and their influence on the community.
Now, if they were to click on somebody's social bookmark, could they see that person's profile page too?
We don't have that feature enabled with the social bookmarking preview, but it is a planned V1 feature.
Okay,
so,
good.
Yep, we want to have it fully navigable like that.
Yeah, because as a user group leader, I would want to go, oh, look at all of John Marr's mm-hmm. content, and then I could maybe just take some of your content and use it for a meeting or
Absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely.
That would
be
great.
There's some great blog posts coming out, too, about how you can take social bookmarks and other bookmarks from our system and make them part of your site. So what's the most popular thing being bookmarked on MSDN? Put it on your blog. Put it on your user group site. It's interesting information.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, this is pretty exciting. This is exciting stuff, and I can't wait to see some of the new additions to the profile page and to get this incorporated into the user group experience online.
Absolutely. If you want to try social bookmarking, go to msdnbookmarks.com.
All right.
Thanks.
No, there's no trust bridge between us. There's no trust bridge. There's no assurance net. And she won't even do your positive energy exercise. I think I know what it is. She's upset because I took off her emasculating janitor outfit. So now, are we on?
Yeah, we're on. I'm sitting right here. I can hear every word you're saying. I mean, we're on.
We are on.
Yes, we're on.
Okay, that John Martin really knows how to put together a demo, doesn't he, Michelle?
Chris, why don't you just tell our viewers what we have left from Tech Ed 2008?
All right. Well, while Michelle tries to find her happy place, let's enjoy some of the last scenes from Tech Ed Orlando 2008, shall we?
Hi, I'm Scott Spradlin. I'm with Ineta, the .NET Developers User Group organization, and I'm here with Justin Ng, who's going to talk about Zune. You probably have one, and you know about the device, but he's going to show you some insights about the actual software behind Zune.
You know, this software is actually the result of a lot of usability testing that we did. We took a lot of took a look at how people use their players, and we found that there was a lot of confusion around it. Basically, that people didn't know how to sync. You know, do simple tasks like syncing down to their device and whatnot. And so we spent a lot of time, we did our own usability tests and we did a lot of user feedback, and this is what we came up with. So you can see here, it's pretty straightforward. We've got artists, albums, and songs, the three different columns. And, you know, it's very easy to click around and navigate through your library and see what it is that you're looking for. So let me take a step back and talk a little bit about listeners, right? It's all part of this thing that we've got called the Zune Social. And it's really cool. It's kind of this social network type thing. But we didn't go in and just try to make a social network for the heck of it, right? We actually spent some time trying to see how people discovered new music because, you know, we thought that was a really, really important part of the experience. A lot of people we found would just go out and buy their MP3 players, and then they'd have maybe their 20 artists or so that, you know, they'd listen to, and they'd just sort of bring that stuff in and, you know, not discover any new music. And for me, that's too bad because I really like that moment when I hear a new song and I just go, hey, that's a really cool song. And so there were basically two ways that we found that people discovered new music. One of them was through radio, so we put an FM radio on every single Zune, and the second one was through their friends. And so this social thing, let me show you the social tab. You can see the cards of all of your friends.
Did you use .NET technologies to build this application, or tell me a little bit about that if you could.
Okay, just at a very high level, there are a lot of different layers to this application. You know, there are elements that do CD ripping and DRM and such. So we're using the Windows DRM infrastructure for all of that stuff. And there's lots of code written in C++. You know, there's a COM interop layer. There's stuff written in managed C++ as well as managed C#. And then we've got a UI framework, which is based on the Vista Media Center UI framework.
As a developer, what if I wanted to extend that and maybe write my own applications? Can I do that? And how do I do that? And what? Just help me out there, would you?
Okay, well, so what we have right now that's available is the XNA Game Studio. Version 3 has a CTP out right now. And in that, you can actually write some games for the Zune. Check that out. And the community's actually come up with some very cool things. One of the things that I've actually seen is someone's using the wireless to actually make a multiplayer game and sort of, you know, a 3D dungeon-style game where everybody can walk around and see each other. And the possibilities are endless. I saw somebody make a clock application, for example.
Cool. Well, Justin, this has been really exciting to learn some of the details behind the scenes. We really appreciate your taking the time to show us about the Zune application today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, we're back. Well, Michelle, let's keep on keeping on with the Orlando footage. Do you want to set up the next segment for us?
I sure do. Coming up, we're going to hear some heartfelt words from Dave Saunders of Columnist.
And following that, we'll go right into a candid panel discussion where folks at TechEd discuss the online and offline dynamics and some tools that make it easier to be a user group leader.
In the mid-80s, I'd started a company, and it became international. And it did pretty well for about 5 years. But with a very risky contract in Saudi Arabia that would have returned an enormous return, I lost everything. And really down to almost a street person. All the savings I had, my house, cars, everything. So I was doing anything I could just to survive. And one job, the job I got was driving a van hauling Microsoft employees from the building down in Charlotte to their cars. And I asked one of them, how do I get a job here? And he gave me a fax number, and I faxed a resume to them. And over a couple of months, I went through interviews and landed a job as a contractor supporting DOS. And so I was making very little money. I was struggling, as you might imagine. I wasn't in the best of spirits. And one day, Mr. Gates was touring the facility, and he came through, and I'd just gotten off a support call. And he was standing at my cube. And I looked up, and he said, hi, I'm Bill. And he extended his hand, and I shook it, and I said, yes, you are. And he talked to me a few minutes and thanked me for the work I was doing and told me how much he appreciated it and asked me about how I felt about working with Microsoft and really gave me some inspiring advice that really was a turning point in my life and made me at that point commit to being in technology from then on.
I think one of the challenges is that people don't know what user group means. And people are scared to go into something they don't understand. And the thing that really sells it is meeting people. So, you know, so we have to find, I think, between us some way to get more people to meet you and then discover that, you know, there's more to a user group than only talking about the technology. There is something about the common interest and the things that you'll find that go beyond the technology that bond people in user groups. And I think somehow we need to find a way to express that and help people get over the fear of taking the first step. I think we are increasingly trying to at least make our contribution in making it possible. So, I mean, we've got this huge venue, you know, we've got the space, we can make space available, and we see that community adds a huge amount to what goes on here. So, in as much as we can facilitate other ways to connect, you know, I think we're happy to do it.
You know, just because you know about a user group doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to know the value of the group and why I'm going to go to this place, you know, on my time in the evening as opposed to just trying to find information online. So I think, you know, trying to get out there and talk to people and tell them why the networking aspect of it is really, really important is something that we as a community have to get the message out to.
What's your best way of getting the message out right now? You have any tricks?
I try to corner people and just, you know, don't let them go until I, you know. No.
Stalking and cornering?
Yeah, okay. Exactly, yeah. It is just talking to people. You know, wherever I can, I always mention that I run a user group, I always talk about the community, and I talk about the value there. And anytime I, you know, again, anytime I hear people saying, well, that information is online anyway, I can get it, I try to, you know, say, well, that's just a small part. Like, if you talk to a lot of the attendees here at TechEd, they'll say that, you know, the value of the sessions is there for sure, but the value of the TLC, of just sitting down in a thing like this and talking to somebody on the bus ride back to the hotel, that's also a huge part of the value. Right. And that's what you get at the user groups that you can't get online.
Well, I guess the one thing I would say is, you know, we've made a number of changes from the Microsoft side, and we're always open to the input on what we could do to help the user groups more. And I think I've heard many times that, you know, user groups were going to be put out of business by online information. That's so clearly not true. I mean, at the end of the day, people do business with people they like, and they spend time in their spare time with people that they like and have common interest in.
You know, one of the new things that has come out, we've been working with it in the United States for quite a while, and it's going worldwide, is we have CodeZone and user group support services. Have you guys utilized these, and what do you think of those?
I use CodeZone for my user group all the time. I like CodeZone. I like the idea that I can have this one central place for not only my user group, but I get to see the events that are going on in Melbourne or down at one of Dave's groups or in Tampa. It's definitely a facilitator for that cross-communication between all the user groups. And the fact of the matter is I tend to be a little busy. I think all of us can say that we're probably busy. And the last thing I want to do when I get home is write another CRUD web application to manage my user group. And if I can use something like CodeZone and leverage that technology, I'm all I'm all over that.
Yeah, we wrote our CRUD thing from iBuySpy many years ago, so we don't have that quite, but it's really great having CodeZone as a central place to get all the user group information.
We're here for the community as well. We obviously do this in our spare time, so we're passionate about the community, and any suggestions that anyone has to help us do it better is always welcome. So thank you for joining us today.
Well, Michelle, that's our show for this month.
It was very interesting from my point of view.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah. I'd like to thank our viewers for watching another episode of User Group Television. Please join us next time.
All right.
Yeah. No, that's not my thing. No.
Am I going to do that?
No, I'll shake your hand, though.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.